Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the first episode of the Playing with Squirrels Boy Meets World podcast. I am Matthew Kelly, the host of this show. Boy Meets World is one of my all-time favorite shows. I do a podcast that a few of you have probably heard called the Horror Movie Night podcast, and I wanted to do something dramatically different than Horror Movie Night, talking about something as wholesome as Boy Meets World with different people throughout my life that have history with the show as well. And we're recording this actually on Mother's Day. The episode, at the time you're listening to it, is coming out September 24th because we are releasing these episodes on the exact same day that the episodes originally aired. But I'm trying to get a bunch recorded up front. And my brother happened to be home for Mother's Day, and I can't think of Boy Meets World without thinking of time with my family. I would have loved to have had my sisters on here, but timing was not in our favor. Brian, thank you for joining me for the debut episode of the Plays with Squirrels Boy Meets World podcast.
No, thank you for having me.
So the episode that we are talking about was creatively titled Pilot.
Clever. Very clever. I like that.
The description on the Wikipedia page says, Corey Matthews gets detention after school for trying to listen to the Philadelphia Phillies baseball game while his teacher, Mr. Feeney, teaches the class the great value love has in all of their lives, using Romeo and Juliet as its guide. This episode was written by Michael Jacobs and April Kelly, who are the creators of the show. They didn't write every episode, but they wrote this episode. It's funny watching the original episodes of Boy Meets World because it's really not that good.
No, not as good as the later season. But it's actually, today I was watching and I was like, wow. Because I love that show. And I don't know why I loved it until today I was watching. I was like, because this show is for me. You know, like I wasn't nerdy. I wasn't cool. I was just an average guy that nobody cared about. So like Corey Matthews was like written for me.
Yeah.
You know?
But I think that there's, and this is a thing that's going to come up throughout this entire podcast as we work our way through the seasons, but the way none of the characters in this episode at all represent the characters that we remember.
Yeah. Squints was in this episode. I didn't know that. The Sandlot. He just disappeared after the pilot.
I was going to say, was that the third best friend that we've never seen again that sat at the table with him? Yeah, like the only characters who kind of remain the same was like they never really changed Feeney too much, and Sean seemed about the same in that as well. But like Corey, like because so after we watch this episode, the season one DVD has a bonus episode from season four. So we were like, all right, well, let's throw on this episode because we knew that it was one of our favorites, and like. In the first episode of the first season, and I'm pretty sure throughout the entire first season, Corey's like a huge Phillies fan. Like, he's all about sports. And it's like, that got dropped real quick. Like, immediately after this season, I don't think Corey's ever depicted as a person who even, like, remembers or understands sports. And then also, his brother Eric is, this is during, like, cool Eric. Before dumb Eric.
Yeah. And then his sister just disappears and then changes her face and comes back many seasons later.
Can we talk about, though, the little sister was adorable.
She was adorable, but I also realized that Corey was kind of a dick. Like, that whole episode, she's like, oh, I'll go to the game with you. He's like, fuck off.
Yeah,
and then she's like, you want my daughter to be there? Like, no. And that scene when she asked, like, she had a very long shirt on, I think it was his. Like, she's wearing his button up, like, hey, I know it's scary up there. Like, do you want my doll? And he's like, get out of here.
I don't get scared.
Yeah.
She's very adorable. She's very kind. It's weird because, like, I don't know about you, but my memories of Boy Meets World, obviously, is from TGIF.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, you know how, like, there's those things that you don't appreciate until, like, you're looking back at them, like, 20 years later? Like, I never appreciated how great it was that, like, the four of us always had Friday nights to look forward to. Like, I don't really remember making a lot of plans on Friday nights, because to me it was always like, we're going to watch TGIF, we're going to order pizza, and then, like, mom's going to make brownies that I can't eat.
Yeah. So I was pretty lame. None of us had friends.
No, none of us had friends.
Never had anything to do on a Friday.
But, yeah, like, it really was an institution for us. Just like SNCC. Like, SNCC, to me, I always think of, like, Grandmom Gephardt's house. Like, we were always at Grandmom Gephardt's house on Saturdays, and all of the cousins would climb, like, huddle in Uncle John's room on the second floor and watch SNCC. And I remember freaking out whenever, like, the Are You Afraid of the Dark theme would come on. Like, so it was
nostalgic for sure.
Yeah, but it was like, it's funny because watching Boy Meets World today with you kind of like took me back to that a little bit, because there was such a rough middle in all of our lives that, like, it's cool that now it's like, okay, there was a point where we were kids and we would watch Boy Meets World together and we'd have, like, these really great memories and, like, joke around and have, like, this really close time. And then there was just, like, this 6-year period where we all hated each other.
Yeah.
And, like, now, like, today was, like, one of the best days ever, and there was, like, almost no fighting amongst us. Like, it's nice that we've kind of finally gotten to the point that I guess all siblings eventually get to, where it's like, no, we all, like, really love being around each other, which is cool. So do you have any notes on the episode? I know you said you sat down and wrote some notes.
And then I lost them.
All right,
and I don't remember what I wrote.
All right, so the episode starts off with Corey, Sean, and Squints. and they're talking baseball because that's literally all they do for this first season.
Yeah.
And they're spying on the fact that Feeney... Oh, no! They're bragging about who got to stay up the latest watching The Tonight Show.
Yeah.
And they're spying on Feeney. See that Feeney's sitting and chatting with a fellow teacher. And they're like, well, what's going on there? Then it jumps to class, and this is when Corey gets in trouble.
He does get detention.
There's the angry black girl.
Yes, I liked that. I liked that a lot.
Yeah, it's like,
no, Squints, that's what happened to Squints.
Yeah, Squints is like... So they're reenacting the scene from Romeo and Juliet, and Feeney tells Squints, you found Juliet dead, now you must stab yourself with the dagger. And he says to Feeney... he says something along the lines of, like, look, we both know that she's not really dead. Maybe I should stab her a few times to make sure. And that's when this big black girl that's playing Juliet jumps from the table, grabs him by the shirt. And do you remember what she says to him?
You better kill me or something like
that. She goes, if you stab me, you better hope you kill me.
Pick up a knife and kill yourself.
Come on, Mr. Feeney. You and I both know she's not really dead. May I please stab her a few times just to make sure? Hey, you touch me with that knife, you better kill me the first time.
Which is very irresponsible of Mr. Feeney in the first place.
Yeah, he's like, using a real knife, it seems.
Yeah. No, well, even the fact that, like, I was thinking about that, and maybe it's just because, like, we went to Delco school, you know? But, like, I didn't start looking at Shakespeare until, like, 10th grade, and it was too hard to comprehend then.
And that does have one of the best Corey lines, where he talks to him about, like, you know, he's like, this is a story of love and the things that you do for the love. And Corey just goes, you know I'm 11, right? Yeah. So that gets Corey his detention.
Yes.
Now, what wasn't on the Wikipedia thing is the brother storyline, in which Corey is devastated that Eric has given up his Phillies ticket to take a girl on a date instead. Again, this was nice watching this with you, because I always felt like whenever I watched Boy Meets World, I really feel like you and I had the Eric Matthews, Corey Matthews brotherly relationship, where we would be real dicks to each other, but, like, deep down we, like, always were looking out for each other's best interests to the best of our abilities. Even, like, during the rough patches, we were very, like, defensive for each other.
Yeah, sure.
I always wanted to do the road trip. I know that's, like, in a later season, but there's, like, that season where it ends with Eric and Corey just deciding to spend the summer driving around the United States together, and I was like, man, if only.
Like, yeah, right?
That our chances for that have clearly been missed, but...
Nah, you never know.
And the most would be, like, if you moved back up north, taking a week to, like, ride up with you. That's but we would never get, like, a full summer of, like...
Yeah.
Unless we both, like, lost our jobs unexpectedly.
And unless someone is like, Plays with Squirrels podcast, here's $1 million.
Recreate your dreams. Oh, yeah, no, if that happens, that's on the road. So Corey's upset because Eric's going on this date. And that's when he decides to divorce himself from his family. He's going to live in the treehouse. And then probably the best scene in the whole episode is his detention sequence.
Yeah.
And sure. This is going to be the ongoing theme throughout the whole show is obviously like the Mr. Feeny advice.
Yeah.
Which is always great. Like, even in the early seasons, he always had these very profound piece of advice. So Corey's hanging out in the treehouse, and he sees Mr. Feeny setting up a dinner for two, and all of a sudden he gets a phone call, and you don't understand what's happening with that phone call, but he looks upset, he hangs up the phone, he takes away one of the settings, and sits by himself and starts eating, and so they tricked me. Because yeah. I've seen this episode probably at least a couple times, and I forgot who was actually the person that dinner was supposed to be with.
Yeah, and there's going to be a spoiler alert, but yeah. You had 20 years to see this episode, yeah.
So you're led to believe that him and this teacher that he had been talking to were going to have dinner, and then she canceled last second. So once everything's all fixed... You know, Corey works things out with his family, and we'll talk about that in a second, and works things out with his brother and goes through his detention. The closing credit sequence is Feeny talking to that teacher again and asks her out to dinner, and she says, sure, and he goes, I'm quite the cook. I made a beautiful salad for my sister and I the other night, but unfortunately she had to cancel last second. And they got me.
Yeah. And then he, like, looked at Corey like... Bitch.
Yeah,
like, it was so mean. Corey felt bad for him.
Yeah,
confused. Good. That was a direct quote. That is exactly what he said.
So the thing is with this episode is the first like season or two of Boy Meets World is always kind of cheesy to me because it's definitely more directed at kids. Than the other seasons.
Well, that's why I grew up with this show, I feel like.
Yeah. It's kind of like when you read Harry Potter and, like, each book aged with the original reader. Yeah. The show definitely grew up with its audience. And the first, like, season or two is very much, like, the TGIF of that time. Whereas, like, I feel like Full House never really matured with its audience. And Family Matters never really matured with its audience. Boy Meets World did. So it's the only one that felt like it broke out. Of that shell a little bit, but there are moments that like even watching it in my 30s hits me, and like the speech that his mom gives him about how he just how he feels like Eric has blown him off for a girl, she reminds him how he blew off his dad for his friends.
You still feeling a little abandoned, Cor?
Yeah, well, life goes on.
Yeah, that's what your dad said when it happened to him.
Why? Who abandoned dad?
You did?
I never did anything like this to dad.
Oh, when you were little, you couldn't wait for your dad to get home from work so you could throw the football around with him. I'll tell you something, he looked forward to it as much as you did.
So how come we don't do that so much anymore?
Well, you got a little older. You had a bunch of friends. You were more interested in throwing the football around with them.
Wait a minute. It sounds like you're saying I'm the bad guy.
No, honey, there's no bad guy. All I'm saying is that it's natural that people grow up and priorities change. Okay?
You know, it did make me think of our dad. It makes me think of, you know, our mom. And, you know, there's these things where you... Like we said earlier, you take for granted certain things in your life that are really, really cool.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, Easter just passed, and it was cool calling you guys, but I wasn't home.
Yeah, and you know. I mean, you didn't miss much. But, like, Thanksgiving sucks when you're not here. You know, I know that there is going to eventually be a Christmas where you don't make it. Like, it's going to happen one of these days, and like, that's going to suck. And like, that's the stuff that you you never took for granted. You take for granted because you just always expect that they're going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that we've done that to our dad. I know that we've done that to our mom, where we chose our friends over our family. And, you know, and that's part of life. You're supposed to do that. You're supposed to grow up and separate. But, you know, being reminded that, like, the thing that we used to care about is something that our parents still hold fondly to and still care about.
Yeah.
And that's the stuff that I really love about the show, even in its early stages. I'll play the speech that Feeny gave, but, like, that speech about love is great, too.
Yeah.
You know? Just there's a lot of depth that happens in this show that that is unexpected for a debut episode. It's such a good show, though.
Like, it really is.
Like, it, even in its early years, it's still not the most enjoyable thing in the world as it later becomes. Like, the... like, seasons, I would say from season 3 beyond is just, like...
a great show.
Yeah, like, it's just knocking things out of the park. The other thing that is important to note is that they're in 6th grade in this episode. And I've always tried to figure out where it is, so hopefully I'll figure it out while recording this podcast. But they definitely skip a whole grade.
Yeah.
In the telling of the story. Because they're high school seniors by season 5, and mathematically that doesn't add up.
Yeah. Yeah, that's something happened.
But yeah, you know who else is missing from this episode though? Mencus.
Mencus is missing, and the white trash. You know, the kid that was the mafia kids.
Oh,
that
they're was, the best.
Bam Bam Bigelow.
Or, no, Vader. Their dad's Vader.
Yeah.
Frankie the Enforcer and Joey the Rat.
Joey the Rat, yeah.
Joey the Rat, who later went on to form Rilo Kiley.
Yeah. Frankie the Enforcer was a good poet.
Yeah. Oh, that's one of the best episodes.
Yeah.
It's like when he reveals that he enjoys doing poetry.
How am I supposed to be on this show and talk about one episode?
I know. Well, I mean, I don't think we're supposed to focus specifically on one episode. I have ideas for episodes that I definitely want you to be a part of. Just like I have, like... any episode featuring Vader, I know I'm going to have my buddy Tommy, because he's a huge Boy Meets World and a huge wrestling fan, so that makes sense. Neither guy who does Horror Movie Night has ever watched Boy Meets World, apparently. So I kind of want to make them watch the Scream episode, but at the same time, I feel like if they don't know the show, then that episode's not going to really make sense completely out of context, and I'd rather just do that one with you and Julie, since we quote it.
That's easily the most memorable episode. Like, I remember the premiere of that episode.
Yeah, I remember taping it off the television, and we would watch it for... So let's do that a little bit. Like, what are some of your big Boy Meets World memories? Like, we watched this first episode. There's obviously, like, 100-plus episodes that are still left to go of the series and of this podcast. But, like, what are some of your, like, big ones that you remember and always hold with you?
The one where Corey is convinced that Topanga's cheating on him.
Okay.
The
underpants?
The underpants. the Halloween one, that is a given.
It's not... so this is a fun fact. The Scream episode, not a Halloween episode. It came out in June.
Really?
It was right before graduation. It was an episode about Sean's guilt. Because he felt like he was the reason why Topanga and Corey were fighting.
Yeah.
The Halloween episode, that episode, or that season, actually is the one that has Sabrina the Teenage Witch at the very end of it, where Eric's roommate is dating a witch who wants to utilize their balcony for a seance.
Nice. And I think this is the same episode, actually, when Corey thinks that Topanga's cheating on, where Eric is after her now. Yeah. And he climbs into the American Gothic picture, tries to jump out. I mean, honestly, you could just, like, take season 5 and that's the episode I want to do.
It's just there's some good memories that, like, I remember for you, one of the big ones was you used to always talk about the episode where it ends with them at karaoke. And Corey singing War, What Is It Good For? With Topanga.
Gotta love it! War!
Well, the best is, like, him... because she's so uninterested in it. So he's like, "Roar!" And then it cuts to her, and she just goes, "Good God, y'all."
Oh, no.
The timing on it, all three of these main, actually all four, I'm going to include Eric in there too.
Yeah.
Her, like, Eric, Sean, Corey, Topanga, really just like, as they got older, just got some of the best comedic timing.
Yeah. I mean, all of them.
Like, the other episode that we watched, the look on Corey's face in the one episode that we watched from season four is so funny, and it's so hard to explain it. Stay tuned for like 4 years from now when we get to this episode, but the just big dumb smiles that that Ben Savage would put on his face, just he was so good at playing like that lovable dork.
Yeah,
which is why I don't like the first season that much, is that I don't like my Corey Matthews being like this douchey Phillies fan. I like him being like the super average, like, neurotic, anxious
me.
Yeah, us, yeah. Both of us, we're both pretty bad.
Yeah.
We just had a terrible time bowling because of our anxiety. Had a great time with our family, but mentally both of us were like losing our minds.
Yeah.
And that's like I guess it's that, like you said, it's the most relatable. At the time, it was the most relatable thing on TV.
Oh, for sure.
I think in later chat. Yeah.
So Sabrina was out.
I think there's like a few shows. I guess this is a question that I can ask you too, because I don't really get to ask this of many of my siblings. There's certain TV shows that I always tell people if they watch it, they'll understand what our family is like. What are some of those shows for you? I want to see if they're the same shows that I always tell people to watch. Like shows where you're watching it and you're just like, man, that family dynamic is exactly what mine is. Because I don't think Boy Meets World matches ours at all.
No, I mean, we're more like the white clumps. I don't really have, like, to be honest, I really only have, like, dad, you know? Like, that's my dad.
Yeah.
And even now I'm drawing blanks.
See, the two big ones for me always was, I was like, if you want to know what my family life was like growing up, watch That 70s Show
and watch
The Goldbergs. Like, Kitty and Red Foreman and Bev and Murray Goldberg are the two best representations of what our family life was like. Because it was like the overly affectionate, could never see anything wrong with any of her kids' mother. And the dad who clearly loved us, but preferred...
Oh, it was like a sitcom.
Yeah, like, for just sure. Preferred, like, knocking us down a peg.
Yeah, like, yeah, that is like, you know, throughout the whole 6 seasons of my life so far, I got like one episode where dad said he loved me, you know? Which I'm okay with that. It's a heartwarming episode.
And a whole lot more where he called you an idiot.
Yes. <It's> like, yes. Very, very true.
But it's cool because it's his way of showing that he loves us, and that's like one of those things that's really cool.
Yeah.
I feel like that's all we've got right now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the early season's rough. I'm looking forward to getting more guests on. I'm looking forward to continuing to do this. I'm obviously looking forward to having you back on the show.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also really just looking forward to even season two has a couple really great standout episodes. I recall the one where they form a band.
That's a great one, but they don't know how to play instruments. I love that there's no fucking boundaries in that town. You know, Sean moves in with his teacher.
Yeah.
Feeney openly talks about school to his parents and then just follows them to college.
Yeah, there's no rhyme or reason, but you know what? It was one of those things that we used to make fun of as kids about, like, the fact that Feeney was like their teacher and then their principal and then like just followed them to college. Yeah. But because of how great the final speech of this entire show is, it's like well worth it. It's like, all right, I'll suspend my disbelief because that final speech that he gives in the last episode is like one of the most heartbreaking things ever on television.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's tough.
So it's, I think that sometimes you have to suspend your disbelief to get those earned moments.
Yeah.
All in all though, still really, I think it's a good pilot. I think it's a good first episode. I don't know who the guest will be next week, but next week we'll obviously be talking about episode 2, which, yes, it did air a week later, On the Fence. So you can let your mind wander on what On the Fence might be about.
Mm. You come into my classroom at the beginning of the year, and at the end you go, and I really don't know if in the time we spent together I have taught you anything. Well, this afternoon, Mr. Matthews, you are going to learn something from me. Do I have your attention?
Yes, sir.
I live on the other side of the fence from you, Corey. And it's impossible not to face in your direction every once in a while and notice the people in the next yard. And through the years, I've got to know them. It is apparent that they are fine individuals. But their real strength comes from being a family. And do you know why they're a family, Corey? Because at one time, a man and a woman realized that they loved each other and pursued the unlimited potential of what may come from that love. And here you are. There is no greater aspiration than to have love in our lives, Mr. Matthews. Romeo knew it and died for it. Others know it and prepare salads. And those who don't know it will sit in detention for the rest of their lives.